Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Extend your life with Extendovite. So, Dad, you're sounding a lot better. How have you been feeling since your heart attack?
Well, son, I am feeling a lot better. Ever since your sister ordered me a bottle of Heart Drop 2000's Extendivite for my heart.
Heart Drop? Extendivite? What's that?
Well, it's just seven herbs that are approved for helping keep my heart healthy.
That's great, Dad. I was getting worried about you. I am so glad it's helping.
So am I, son. I'm very glad your sister got it for me. I wish I had known about it before my heart attack.
Yeah, but would you have taken it, though?
You know, I'm not sure if I would have. But I'm awful glad I'm taking it now. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
For joining us once again here at Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our last Datum Line broadcast, Values Clarification Part 13, we continued to contrast the moral values of present-day Americans with those of our 19th century ancestors. Not only do they differ, they're derived from entirely different sources. Despite the many failings and imperfections of our European forebears, for which modern critics are often quick to accuse, they were far more conversant with and obedient to the moral standards given to ancient Israel in the Bible. While many of our contemporaries see this as a mere coincidence, I do not. One of the reasons for this comparison is to show why America's political and economic fortune has not been and will not be reversed at the voting booth. There's a school of thought, you know, that says all we need to do is tell everyone about chemtrails, Sandy Hook, GMOs, martial law, and that Michelle Obama is really a man, whereupon a mass awakening will restore sanity to Washington politics and prosperity to our economy. Now, while the current army of sin-laden politicos in Washington may fear being exposed, more reinforcements are right behind them. On the other hand, the public is trapped by dollars doled out by Congress to secure America's enslavement. Who will repent of just this one vice, which guarantees our socialist tyranny? To know and alert others about information critical to our survival is obviously important, but that alone has not brought us victory. So much of what we know, we do so little about. As the Bible says, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. But folks will say it's hard to do much about some issues. For example, we've been linked at the hip to the United Nations since the San Francisco Conference created it in 1945. The John Birch Society hammered on this topic for half a century, their faded billboards scattered around the country proclaiming, "Get us out of the UN." But America's youth are still being taught to believe that it's the way to global peace. The income tax and central bank proposed in the Communist Manifesto of 1848 were integrated into our emerging credit system in 1913, and that was 100 years ago. But our neighbors ask, how could America survive without them? Social Security, and the number by which almost everyone is identified and tracked, has been defended for well over 70 years. Keep your cotton-picking hands off my Social Security, growls the gray panther. Our forefathers would be ashamed. And I've only mentioned four specific issues: the United Nations, income tax, Federal Reserve, and Social Security. So what I'm suggesting is that the people we call Americans often bear no spiritual or even physical resemblance to our nation's forefathers. Convert them to the old-time religion if you think you can, but modern theology certainly hasn't succeeded. Today's Americans have little or no affinity for the biblical values of those who first created and populated our constitutional republic. Now, you may recall our major premise from earlier broadcasts that the predominant religion of any society is what ultimately determines their political and economic fate. It's not just by chance that our centrally planned and regulated economy is foreign to what the Constitution established. An obvious difference is that the Constitution was predicated on tangible lawful money, gold and silver, the source of which is the God of Christian Israel. While the socialist interdependent economies of today operate on 100% intangible credit, the source of which is the godmen of banking. From these two points of departure, we can follow a path that leads either to freedom and prosperity or to poverty and bondage. What I cannot emphasize enough is that when American laborers discarded their lawful money in the 50-year-long money for credit swap between 1914 and 1964, they lost their ultimate control over the political system. The Constitution and master-servant relationship that it created were overthrown, not just by Congress and the Federal Reserve, but by the producers and laborers who willingly surrendered their goods and services for bank credit as if it were money. If politicians are the servants, as the Constitution intended, then we could fire them en masse, not at the polls, but by shutting off their money supply, if we had a money supply. Remember, there was no federal income tax under the Constitution, and it's well argued that wages are not lawfully subject to such a tax even now. Congress depended on import duties prior to Lincoln's Civil War. If we had protested federal abuse by boycotting foreign goods, the Treasury supply of gold and silver would have dried up. Congress would have had to go home. Today, if you stop sending checks to IRS, Congress will keep right on spending dollars which they get for nothing. So when it comes to a credit supply, they don't need you, which is why so many of you are frustrated about runaway government in Washington. What the tyrants of banking and government need is what you produce. And if Alex Jones could tell you what to resist that would make a real difference, it would be that producers say no to those dollars that flow from Washington to steal your wealth. But in order to do that, you first need to create a lawful microeconomy with gold and silver coins to link the producers together, to bypass an army of bloodsuckers who are draining this economy dry of real producers and meaningful production. Again, every culture is characterized by its own moral standards, with America's political economy rooted in the Bible and the law of Israel's God written on our hearts. Why so many of us are unable or unwilling to see the connection is attributable to our spiritual preconditioning by the Godmen who rule over us. While some major changes have occurred in America since my childhood, I was apprised of a new one when a pastor paid me a visit recently, during which he was pleased to announce that America is now the object of concern to missionaries from Rwanda. Does it seem odd to you that Africans are now bringing the European Christian religion, as best they understand it, to America's wallowing in spiritual, political, and economic darkness? I proposed to my guest that it would be more appropriate if we evangelized our own people than for aliens to the Old and New Covenants to do it for us. As you might have imagined, my suggestion didn't register, except on the Richter scale. He assured me earlier that his religion was winning converts in the Third World, to which I replied that it was never so divided in pursuit of its own destruction here at home. He was amused by my observation and asked how I could say such a thing, to which I listed some of the rotten fruit that America's religion is harvesting. Over 55 million babies murdered in the womb since Roe versus Wade. Perverts march defiantly in our streets. America's industry shipped lock, stock, and barrel to Mexico, India, China, and beyond. Debt and foreclosure haunt what was once the most successful of all political economies on the earth. Our country now dependent for resuscitation on the engines of war, to which he at least responded with a more sober expression. What I'm anxious to know is when these African missionaries will begin teaching us how to rebuild a Christian political economy based on the biblical model that must be up and running in Rwanda. More importantly, perhaps, where did they learn how to build such an advanced civilization founded on biblical lines? They sure didn't get it from our missionaries, who are carrying the light of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world while it was the darkest of night in our own backyard. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 14. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Line.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Back to this segment of Datum Line. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 14. You know, teachers, or masters as they're called in the Bible, are obliged to live by a higher standard than their more ignorant students. For as it says in James chapter 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be ye not many masters, or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. The unfortunate people of third world countries would do well to learn more quickly that American missionaries do not represent a Christian culture back home, where the law of God is no longer the moral compass that once led to our former greatness. Therefore, by adopting our present religion, they will never reap the political and economic success that was once associated with America's more prosperous past. And it will not go well for us when they discover the disconnect, the hypocrisy of our deceptive, watered-down, one-size-fits-all religion. And it's not that the Lord failed to warn us about such things. It's just that when you build your house of faith upon a faulty premise, it's easy to miss some of the cautionary signposts around the construction site, like, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Ouch. That's not politically correct, is it? But who would say such a thing in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6? Well, that was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. From a biblical perspective, can you think of anything more holy, that means consecrated, set apart, hallowed, or sacred, than the Word of God itself? And in the Bible, we find the holy ordinances, the law of God, and the promises made specifically to the 12 tribes of Israel, who were themselves identified as an holy nation under the Old Covenant at Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, and under the New Covenant at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Could it possibly be that the Bible was not intended to serve as spiritual fodder to be indiscriminately rammed down the throats of everyone on the planet? Now, were a Bible-believing Christian to make that statement today, he'd be immediately labeled as a hate-filled bigot by an army of venomous detractors in mainstream media and modern theology. How could anyone deny to the lowliest of diversified humanity the holy oracles of God and the pearls of great wisdom contained in the Scriptures? These great monuments of piety, we'll ask. Surely Jesus must have been mistaken. He meant something else. Maybe the translators made an error based on a faulty Hebrew or Greek manuscript. Ah, that must be it. No intelligent person in his right mind could accept such a narrow-minded, bigoted religion. In today's hostile anti-Christ environment, you can well imagine the pressure that could be brought to bear against anyone who would dare to broach such a sensitive subject. But there it is. In part 8 of this series, we spent a few minutes addressing yet another of these hard, politically incorrect sayings. In fact, two of them. Where Jesus said in Matthew 15:24 that he was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Most Christians today don't believe that. So they create spiritual Israelites, derived from all humankind, to fill the gap in their theology. Jesus also said that it was not meet or proper for him to take the children's bread, meaning the gifts he reserved for Israel, and to cast it to the dogs, implying non-Israelites, a statement he made in Matthew 15:26. Now, not many Christians believe that one either. But again, depending on your basic view of Scripture, these passages either confront your perspective and understanding, or else they resonate in perfect harmony. People often become extremely emotional over this, and that's what the adversaries of truth enjoy most, getting us agitated to where we can't think straight, or better yet, so angry that all reasonable thought goes out the window. Certain talk show hosts of mainstream media are masterful at inciting adverse emotions, from bewilderment and agitation all the way to intense hatred. More despicable than these spiritual gladiators are the people in their audience who revel in it, and the advertisers who sponsor it. But now, lest any of our listeners be ready to pop a circuit breaker, let's take a moment to reflect on a simple idea that might ease your rising tension. Suppose, for example, you were married to someone who became egregiously offensive and unfaithful to you, even making a public spectacle of their infidelity. Would you, in response, divorce everyone on the planet? Or would you just divorce your offending spouse? Assuming you got the answer correct on that one, let's ask another question. Suppose you were God himself, and the offending party was Israel. But because of your perfect nature, I understand we can't understand that, but and the promise made to Abraham, confirmed with Isaac, and again with Jacob Israel, these you can read about in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 17, chapter 21, and chapter 32, you are duty-bound to hold up your end of the marriage covenant, even though spiritually frail and imperfect Israel did not. You then arrange to die a cruel death for Israel so she can marry you anew, as you can read about in Romans chapter 7, a concept that we can scarcely comprehend. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, as it says in Romans 5:8. But whom did Paul mean by we, sinners, and us? Well, the we, sinners, and us is Israel. For only Israel could sin directly against God by violating his first covenant made with Israel at Mount Sinai. Sin is transgression of the law, as it says in 1 John 3:4. And only Israel was under the law, as it says in Psalm 147, 19 and 20, also at Romans 9, 4 and elsewhere. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, saying, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them," that's Israel, "that were under the law, that we," that's Israel, "might receive the adoption of sons," Galatians 4, 4 and 5. You see, only Israel was under the law. Only Israel was given a bill of divorce pursuant to a violation of that law, that being in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. Only Israel was told, in spite of the divorce, that she was still married to the God of Israel, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Only unfaithful Israel was then estranged from God, Ephesians 2, verse 12, by being put away in captivity under Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 17. Only Israel had sold herself for nothing and would be redeemed without money, as it says in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 3. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 53. Only Israel could be redeemed, meaning repurchased, being the only party sold. Only her husband, Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, her next of kin, could buy Israel back, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47 to 49, concerning the law of kinsman redemption. For verily he, Jesus, took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation, for the sins of the people, Hebrews 2, 16 and 17. You cannot be reconciled unless you were once conciliated, meaning united, as in marriage under the first covenant made at Mount Sinai, to which covenant pertains Israel and Israel only, Romans 9, 4. And if you can believe the Bible, it is only to Israel that the adoption spoken of in Galatians 4, 4 and 5 pertains. Again, Romans chapter 9 and verse 4. Here's our music. This is our next break. Values Clarification, Part 14. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. You're listening to The Adam Line.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Back to this half of Datamine, our message today, Values Clarification, Part 14. I got a question. I got a few. Why do our theologians expand the Old and New Covenant parameters beyond the limits imposed by the covenant-keeping God of Scripture? Why do they inflict upon non-Israelites the grievous sins of our ancestors who broke the holy covenant of marriage with the God and husband of Israel, if they were never parties to the marriage contract? How did any other nation on this earth become a transgressor against the first covenant made between God and Israel? How do they become the recipients of God's merciful forgiveness and new covenant because of the sins they or their ancestors never committed? How are they invited inside the temple, if you will, where the cruel sacrifice of Israel's Lamb of God was accomplished at Calvary in perfect fulfillment, once and for all, of the Passover service given in Exodus chapter 12, where foreigners were not allowed to partake? Why, our Lord and Savior might ask, do they give that which is holy unto the dogs and cast their pearls before swine? New listeners might be wondering what all of this has to do with America's rapid decay and integration into an amalgamated global religious, political, and economic system, the ultimate world tyranny. Well, this has everything to do with it, and reveals modern theology as a major player in our national destruction, the planned suicide of Christian European-American culture. And there's not much left of it. But fortunately, God promised to preserve a remnant of his people Israel. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, for example, and you might just be one. Our Lord said that it was not meet, M-E-E-T, meaning proper, for him to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Again, Matthew 15:26. How was his prohibition converted into a diametrically opposite command, that being to give that which is holy or set apart unto everyone else? Well, this is done by lifting text out of its broader context, as when the Reverend Alexander Whitaker, ensconced at the Jamestown settlement in colonial Virginia, pursued a zealous missionary outreach to the Native American Indians. His premise, expressed in a letter to his clerical peers back in England, from whom he sought support, was based on a liberal interpretation of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, which says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Now this sounds like an opposite understanding of what Jesus said, that he was not to cast the children's bread to the dogs. So which is it? Well, both are correct when understood in proper biblical context. Both Jesus and Solomon were addressing their messages to Israel, who understood, pursuant to Ezra chapter 9 and Nehemiah chapter 13, that the waters, these being the spiritual people perhaps, of Ecclesiastes 11:1 did not encompass all of humanity. What we learn about the concerted efforts of Reverend Whitaker to reach those lost souls was revealed by Bishop Meade in Volume 1 of Old Churches, Ministers, and Families of Virginia, published in 1857, a summary of which was written in the nearly 1,200-page George Washington Sacred Fire, written by Peter Lilbach and Jerry Newcomb, this being a number one national bestseller published in 2006. On page 73, Mr. Lilbach and Mr. Newcomb point out, quote, "Although Virginia had a promising start to evangelize the Indians, it proved to be very slow going. Few Indians accepted the gospel." Oops, just a moment now. I'm going to stop in mid-sentence. The word gospel is usually derived from one of two Greek words, either euangelizo, I'll say it again, euangelizo, which means to announce good news, or else the word euangelion, euangelion, which means a good message. Now, if few Indians accepted the good news or the good message, what are the odds that they would have received anything else in the Bible? Believe it or not, the Bible has other things besides good news in it. You see, missionaries are taught an unbalanced theology, which they, in turn, offer to their foreign customers. Yes, that's the word I'm going to use, customers. Much like a salesman whose job is to highlight only the best-selling features of a particular automobile. If the American Indians wouldn't buy into the biased sales pitch, the good news, if you will, why do we suppose they were qualified buyers of the product in the first place? But my question is no longer politically correct, is it? Subsequently, say the authors, it was not a promising mission field to would-be ministers or missionaries. Dare we ask why? Oh, no. You can't even think the question, let alone ask it. Not in a free America. But the author's footnotes offer us a clue. Get out your magnifying glass, however, because the Internal Revenue Code is written in far larger print, which has me wondering if the authors wanted everyone to read what I'm about to share with you from page 976 and 977. This wedged between 198 pages of very fine print. From footnote number 43 of chapter 4, they say, quote, "We gain insight into the mission's efforts of Whitaker, found at Old Churches, Volume 1 by Bishop Meade, page 77, from his tractate, by Alexander Whitaker, written at Henrico in 1613. Okay. Here's what they say, or here's what Whitaker said back then. They, the Indians, acknowledge that there is a great good God, but know him not, having the eyes of their understanding yet blinded. Wherefore they serve the devil for fear, after a most base manner, sacrificing sometimes, as I have heard, their own children to him. I have sent one image of their God to the council in England, which is painted on one side of a toadstool, much like unto a deformed monster. Their priests, whom they call Quickasaws, are no other but such as our English witches are. He goes on, they, the priests, esteem it virtue to lie, deceive, and steal, as their master, the devil, teacheth them. Now, we go on. They, this being the Indians now, not the priests, they stand in awe of the Quickasaws, or priests, which are a generation of vipers, even Satan's own brood. Now, that doesn't sound very good, does it? So I'm going to give you a little positive note here, just so that you don't think this is a biased presentation that I'm trying to make. Because I have no qualms about Indians. I even knew a couple Indians back in my home state of Maine. He goes on, quote, finally, there is a civil government among them, which they strictly observe and show thereby that the law of nature dwelleth in them. For they have a rude kind of commonwealth and rough government, wherein they both honor and obey their king, parents, and governors, both greater and lesser. They observe the limits of their own possessions, that means they don't steal. Murder is scarcely heard of, adultery and other offenses severely punished. End quote. Well, that's from Old Churches, Volume 1, page 134 and 35. Now, that's kind of a double standard, isn't it? You see, the priests lie, deceive, and steal, but the people don't. It almost sounds like Washington politics, doesn't it? One set of standards for government, another standard of behavior for the people who are subject. Now, say the authors in footnote number 44 of chapter 4, they say, quote, the intermarriage of the Indian princess, this was Pocahontas, you remember, and the English settler brought on an era of peace in Virginia. Well, wait a minute. Because the next sentence says, but there were storm clouds brewing both in the mother country and secretly in the council fires of Powhatan's chiefs. Well, maybe they really didn't mean that this intermarriage brought on an era of peace. Maybe they meant it preceded an era of peace. Here's what they say. The Reverend Peter Fontaine, corresponding with his brother in England, while defending intermarriage with the Indians as a means of their civilization and Christianization, explains why the practice had ceased among the Virginians. He said, but this our wise politicians at home put an effectual stop to at the beginning of our settlement here. Oops. Here's our music. Guess we'll have to pick this up on the other side of our break. Values Clarification, Part 14. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Bottom Line.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code Silver2014 for 20% off of your entire order. And give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll free 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Welcome back to this final segment of Datum Line. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, Valley's Clarification, Part 14. We were talking about the intermarriage of the Indian princess Pocahontas to an English settler back in Virginia, and how that there were storm clouds that were brewing both in the mother country, England, and secretly in the council fires of Powhatan's chiefs in Virginia. The Reverend Peter Fontaine was corresponding with his brother in England, even though he was a defender of the intermarriage, believing that that was a means of Christianizing the Indians. He explains why the practice had ceased in the among the Virginians. Here's what he said. "But this, our wise politicians at home put an effectual stop to at the beginning of our settlement here. For when they heard that Rolfe had married Pocahontas, it was deliberated in council whether he had not committed high treason by so doing, that is, marrying an Indian princess, and had not some troubles intervened, which put a stop to the inquiry, the poor man might have been hanged up for doing the most just, the most natural, well, you might say that's true, the most generous and politic action that ever was done on this side of the water," meaning the Atlantic. "This," he said, "put an effectual stop to all intermarriages afterwards." End quote. Old Churches, Bishop Meade, Volume 1, page 82. Is this a case of misunderstood theology? The council in England might punish a man for intermarriage with a Virginia settler, or while a Virginia settler, I should say, saw it as the most just, natural, generous, prudent, and sagacious act ever carried out in the New World up to that time. You see, we're faced with nearly the same intensity of division on this topic today. Let's see now. In chapter 4, footnote number 45 says this, quote, "The struggle to Christianize the Indians was captured in a letter by Colonel Byrd, B-Y-R-D. Quote, here's what Colonel Byrd said, quote, "The whole number of people belonging to the Nottoway town, if you include women and children, amounts to about 200. These are the only Indians of any consequence now remaining within the limits of Virginia. The rest are either removed, in other words, they have moved, or dwindle to a very inconsiderable number, either by destroying one another or else by smallpox or other diseases, though nothing has been so fatal to them as their ungovernable passion for rum, with which, I am sorry to say, they have been but too liberally supplied by the English that live near them. And here I must lament the bad success Mr. Boyle's charity has hitherto had toward converting any of those poor heathen to Christianity. Many children of our neighboring Indians have been brought up in the College of William and Mary." Now, that's an old college. It was chartered in 1693. It was opened in 1694 by Episcopalians. Okay. "They have been taught to read and write and have been carefully instructed in the Christian religion till they came to be men. Yet, after they returned home, instead of civilizing and converting the rest, they have immediately relapsed into infidelity and barbarism themselves. And some of them, too, have made the worst use of the knowledge they acquired among the English by employing it against their benefactors. Besides, as they unhappily forget all the good they learn and remember the ill, they are apt to be more vicious and disorderly than the rest of their countrymen." End quote. This from Mead, Old Churches, Volume 1, starting at page 283. Do you suppose Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you"? Once in a while, you meet a disillusioned missionary who can't understand why the people to whom he was sent and was so eager to save for the Lord Jesus could not or would not hold on to the sacred or holy truths of God and the pearls of wisdom that spoke to the law written in his or her heart. Seldom does it dawn on a Christian that what triggers his or her response to the Word of God does not necessarily reside in everyone else on the planet. For example, in John chapter 10, verse 24 through 27, we read, "Then came the Jews round about him," him being Jesus, "and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John chapter 10, 24 through 27. But who were those Jews who Jesus said were not of the sheep of the house of Israel to whom he was sent? Matthew 15, 24. Could the answer be found in Revelation 2, 9 and 3, 9, which say basically that I know the blasphemy of those who call themselves Jews but are not, but of the synagogue of Satan and do lie? Could this explain the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 65, where a certain name was to be left as a curse for the people of Israel, who, in Isaiah chapter 62, would lose their name and become known by a new name? I wonder what that new name might be. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Were they, the disciples, Israelites? Or do you think they were a multicultural mix from all over the globe? If you say they were Gentiles, be sure you can identify and define that word. According to Colonel Byrd, how should we have Christianized and civilized the Indians? Here's what he says. I am sorry I cannot give a better account of the state of the poor Indians with respect to Christianity, although a great deal of pains has been taken and still continues to be taken with them. For my part, I must be of the opinion, as I hinted before, that there is but one way of converting these poor infidels and reclaiming them from barbarity, and that is charitably to intermarry with them, according to the modern policy of the most Christian king in Canada and Louisiana. End quote. All Churches, Volume 1, starting at page 283. Intermarry. We couldn't convert them any other way. Is that what the Bible says? That you intermarry the people with the people who you can't convert? Did you ever try to improve someone by marrying them? Ask around to see if anyone else ever succeeded in doing that one. If intermarriage with civilized Europeans improved the Indian, what would it have done for the European or the European's offspring? Here's what the Bible says, in part. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, 1 Corinthians 1:21. It was the foolishness of preaching, not sexual union, that most just, natural, generous, and prudent act between man and a woman, that was to convert a person. And did you notice what Paul said? It was by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that's odd. You would think that you would be preaching to save them that do not believe. But we're to save them that believe. Who believes? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. In Genesis chapter 7, I should say Deuteronomy chapter 7, when the Lord thy God, verse 1, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, and he names several of them, the Hittites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, and others. And he goes on to say that the Lord the God shall deliver them before thee. Thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what we should have done to the Indians. This is what God said should have been done to certain people, however. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Well, there's our music. This is the end of another Doubt Online. We'll continue with this subject in our next broadcast, which is a prelude to another tenet of the Humanist Manifesto. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you have been listening to Doubt Online. Thank you, and have a good day.